Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Saxo Market Calc podcast. As always, my name is Søren Otto, and today we are looking at one of the thematic episodes, and I am very pleased to let you know that we have our good friend Ole Hansen, who is our primary commodity expert here at Saxo, in the studio with me. Hi Ole, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Søren. I'm really well, thank you very much. Plenty of stuff going on, as per usual.
As per usual, and that's why we're here. It's always something fun to talk about. And what we're going to talk about today is, I think we're going to look at commodities broadly, but we will start a little bit with cocoa. I think there's some interesting things happening there. And then we're going to look a little bit of a status on this. You coined this idea of year of the metals, and we're going to look a little bit, especially on the precious metals, but also the industrial ones.
Yep.
And then finally, you told me that we probably also need to touch upon some of the other commodities, because there are a lot, as you say, to talk about.
Yeah, maybe just a small step up into the helicopter and just take a look what's happening to the sector as a whole.
Helicopter trips are always great, so let's just jump in it and get started. As I said, let's start with cocoa, because that is we have touched upon it here previously, but it just continues to be a pretty crazy story. What's the status there, Ole?
Well, the status is that we simply haven't got enough supply. Chocolate manufacturers around the world are scrambling to source supplies. Production in the Ivory Coast, or at least arrivals to the ports, are down around 30% of last year. We have a mid-season harvest starting around April, which is not showing much sign of improvement either. So we basically have a bit of a rush to source supplies. And what we will see, unfortunately, and I'm sure we are seeing it around the world already, is that your favorite chocolate bars are going up in price, and if they're not going up in price, they're going down in size, and that is really what is required for this price to stabilize eventually. Because with supply not really showing any signs of improvement, even though the prices are high, simply because the farmers are not receiving this benefit from higher prices, then it has to be the demand side that suffers, and right now we will see that over the coming months. But right now, we're up 78% so far this year. We are only a few months in. We are trading at a price above $7,000 a ton in New York. That's 3x the average price we saw in the 5 years leading up to the start of this rally. So it's just a phenomenal run, and it just highlights what can happen to commodities if you either have too much supply, as we've seen with natural gas, and lack of supply, which is now unfolding in cocoa.
And obviously you can discuss from a health angle whether it's a good thing that these chocolate bars shrink, but as a general concept, price increases like that is challenging this time the producers of the cocoa. Something else that is challenging is the fact that you called this the year of metals, and it seems like cocoa has been the best performer. But we've also seen gold being a pretty good performer. That's really been the storyline the last few weeks. But I don't want us to talk too much about gold right now, because I think we have talked about that for a little bit. So I want us to look at the next big thing in metals and what that could be. And I think that the little brother to gold is probably one of the places where you could look. That is, of course, silver, second mm-hmm. place. That has started to move a little bit. What's going on there?
I think just rounding up off gold, Søren Otto, simply because we've had a phenomenal run up in the last month or so, and I think if you read papers, most of the papers actually brought this up, because the question is what on earth is really driving this rally, because all the ducks, as I've been talking about, has not yet been lined up in a row. They are still scattered all over the place, and I was really waiting for these ducks to line up in order for the rally to commence. By that, I mean we need to see rate cuts starting to come in. We need to see ETF investors start to move back into gold. None of this has happened, and gold has nevertheless managed to rally really strongly. But looking underneath the into the engine room, we are basically seeing quite a significant surge in speculative interest by hedge funds. The weekly accumulation of gold futures in the week to March 5 was the biggest one-week increase since 2019. And that buying probably extended in the days that follow. So what we're left with right now is a market that is exposed to a correction, simply because this a rally built on a hedge fund positioning is not a solid foundation. Because as I always say, hedge funds are not married to their positions. They don't fall into the same trap as we as mere mortals do, where we get married to a position, and if it starts to go wrong and we hope it will turn around and eventually come back, Hedge funds hasn't got that luxury. They're not married. They will seek a divorce instantly if the price development tells them that to get out. And that's why in the short term, we need to see this these higher prices being confirmed. Otherwise, we could potentially see some correction. But the outlook is most certainly, in our view, still to higher prices. And with that, I think we should also start to focus on silver. And now also copper. Copper's just broken above $4. We can talk about that in the next one, just after silver here. But silver is struggling a little bit simply because it is a semi-industrial metal, and silver more than gold probably need that rate cut right now because we need cuts to incentivize growth and demand for physical material, and that's why we are. Silver is struggling a little bit to keep up, but it's still our view that that with gold potentially moving towards 2,300, we could see silver move up towards the 28 to 30 area later in the year. So we're keeping a close eye on silver, looking for that one to shine.
So could you just quickly explain to me and to the listeners what you mean when you say that it's struggled because it's a semi-industrial metal?
Simply because one of the major reason why gold has done so incredibly well, actually trading up when it should be trading down. If you look at what the normal drivers for gold has been doing the last year, real yields have surged higher. We got the dollar, which at times has been on the strong side, both weighing on gold. And just in the last couple of months, we've seen rate cut expectations being lowered from around 7 to less than 4. These are not gold positive developments, and gold has nevertheless been moving higher. That's simply because central banks, as we all know, by now has been very strong buyers, and they can probably continue to be strong buyers. More than 1,000 tons in 22, same last year. Silver hasn't got that luxury. Silver is not bought by central banks, so silver is a little bit left on its own. It's more dependent on you and me as investors and the industrial demand. So that's why silver has been struggling a bit in the last year. So simply because it's not been enjoying the tailwind that gold has had from central bank accumulation.
I think it's interesting, just a sort of a random point off to the center here. I think it's interesting because you usually view gold as sort of the less volatile, like the safe haven, steady metal. But it seems like really silver has been more stable right now than gold has.
Well, it's a little bit, probably a bit of a false impression because yes, it's performing. It's performing slightly worse than gold year to date, but what tends to happen is that we call silver a high beta gold. So if gold moves up, silver tends to move up even faster, and the same goes in the other direction. What we have seen mostly is that silver has struggled in a downward move in gold, where it has struggled to keep up when gold was moving up, simply because of that underlying demand is still lacking a bit. So it is a high beta gold. It tends to be more volatile. So that will continue.
That is probably good for people to know. Before we leave the precious metals behind and go to the industrials, let's just quickly touch upon platinum, because I know there's a little bit of talk about that, but you don't necessarily see it as something that should get too much attention right now.
Well, it's more from the fact that it's a small metal. Its liquidity is not always that great, so you just have to be aware of that. But from a historical price perspective, platinum looks relatively cheap. Its discount to gold is more than $1,200. We have been hitting record discount levels during the past months when gold has rallied and platinum has struggled to keep up. There are some supply concerns regarding South Africa, one of the major producers, which potentially could help tighten the market. But it is the outlook for the automobile industry and the demand from that area that has weighed, especially on palladium prices, driving that down to near parity, or at briefly to parity with platinum. So, but I think once the rally in gold resumes and we've gone through this period of consolidation, then the market will, traders will be looking for relative value. And if platinum is being left behind, then you quite often what you find is that after a period of time, suddenly it's this kind of elastic that gets stretched too far, and suddenly it snaps, and platinum comes racing after gold. So it's just worth keeping in mind that there is still a from an investment perspective, a bit of a link between the two.
let's leave the precious metals behind then and move to the industrials. And I know especially copper is copper has really been an interesting metal for a long time, also because it's so closely linked to both infrastructure building and also green transition. But you mentioned that it's interesting right now, but basically because of other reasons, because there's some supply issue, as I understand it. Is that correct?
That is correct. And at risk of sounding like a broken record, because we have been positive on copper for a long time, and the only thing we have achieved so far is a copper price trading relatively, having been relatively unscathed through this this year of property problems in China, a slowdown in the economic outlook, rising interest rates leading to destocking and so on. But despite of all this, copper has actually been holding up very well, and that's partly driven by the reasons you just mentioned, so not true that the underlying demand is strong, especially towards green transformation. But copper is now up 4% on the year. It's returned to a positive performance during the past couple of weeks. We are trading above $4 a pound in New York. And the reason for that is simply that the availability of copper right now to smelters in China, which is the world's biggest processing, Chinese companies are the biggest processor of copper in the world. The availability of copper to process is tight. And what do the processors do in order to attract, to look the best? They cut the price they're charging to process the copper into refined copper. This has now led to these processing charges to come down to levels where it's almost unprofitable for these processes to continue. So there are talks right now among the industry in China to basically cut production. And so they're cutting production at a time where the demand is already relatively firm. And at the same time, we've had the supply issues from miners around the world, supply projections being lowered. So all in all, just this latest development just plays into the hands of those holding a long-term bullish view on copper. I'm one of them, and that remains. We need to see higher price in order to attract bigger, higher production, because higher production is what will be needed in the years ahead. So I can't remember the number precise, but I believe it's around just below 403. That's the high from August last year. If we take that one out as well, having taken out the December high, then we will start to see some momentum. And generally, hedge funds in high-grade copper have been undecided now for the best part of a year, with their position swinging between long and shorts, never really that extended. And this latest move could potentially swing the dial a bit back into the favor of the long side, or it will, just like we've seen in gold. So interesting one to watch now.
And just to do a little bit of self-promotion, this idea of hedge funds and their relevance for such prices was something that we talked about not too long ago in this speculative sphere and how that can move the price. So I can just encourage anyone who hasn't listened to that episode to go and listen to that, because if you are considering an endeavor into commodities, that is an important thing to understand. But if we just stay with copper for a little bit, something like supply issues, to me, it doesn't sound like anything you just fix overnight. Is this sort of a long-term risk or whatever factor for copper, or how do you see that?
It is. It's not like agriculture, where a strong year with high prices potentially leads to higher production the following year, because the farmer has a lot of money in his pocket, and farmers, they are always optimistic. I'm a farmer's son myself. Instead of buying a new car, they'll buy some more seeds, they'll buy some more fertilizers, or buy a new machine to be even more effective, and look for a bigger production the following year. When it comes to mining, that's a complete different story. We are looking at 3, 4, 5, often 10 years from an idea or from a project starting to be discussed to you actually getting material out of the ground. So we are potentially, and again, one of the reasons why the long-term outlook for some of these metals are pretty positive, that we are seeing a tightening supply outlook, simply because miners will be struggling to keep up. And also consider that a lot of the low-hanging fruits have already been picked. So the material, the amount of material you need to dig out of the ground in order to find the metals that you need is going up and up, and that does obviously require more machinery, more costs, and so on. And that's also a reason why some of the mining companies, even though we're seeing these higher prices, have not really joined the rally just yet. I see the gold miners have started to move, but they have been struggling. And some of that is due to the higher costs. Basically, meaning even though the what is being produced is coming is being sold at a higher price, their revenue, their bottom line are still struggling a little bit due to higher costs.
Just looking at the charts here about the commodity performance, it doesn't appear as though there's any other industrial metals that's really worth like spending a long time on here in the studio. Is there anything you want to mention before we move on from that?
No, I think the laggard has really been nickel, and that's a story about Indonesia. Indonesia has ramped up their nickel production capabilities dramatically in recent years, and that's now leading to other countries cutting back production. So we'll probably find a plateau as well in platinum or in nickel sooner or later, which will support that that area. It is still a very key metal also for the green transformation into for batteries and so on. So so it's one worth keeping an eye on, but it most certainly has been knocked down by supply rising faster than demand in recent years.
If we move on to soft commodities or specifically to grains, I know that that's something that's become very 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 cheap in your opinion, and maybe that's associated with some kind of risk that could surprise on the upside if we do see some especially some weather related factors here in the northern hemisphere. What's your take there, Ole?
Absolutely, because if you look at the performance so far this year, I'm using the Bloomberg Commodity Index and the SOP indices. I like it. I like that index simply because it's roughly split 1/3 between metals, energy, and agriculture. And if we look at the performance year to date, the only sector that is trading down right now is grains, down 9%. We've seen some significant loss, especially in wheat, but also corn and soybeans. They're all down on the year. And this weakness, which has been ongoing for months and months, has really triggered a near record short position again from hedge funds, which we talked about. Just like gold, gold has been in hot demand recently. The same thing goes for grains. But hedge funds do not continue to increase their risk when they continue to sell. So what happens is that if you sold at 100 and the market moves down to 90 and you get another sell signal and you sell at 90, then you'll move down the stop on your whole position to 95 or move it down accordingly. So when hedge funds get involved in a specific product, they have a certain risk percentage they're prepared to risk on an individual position. And obviously, as they continue to sell into weakness and their position goes up, they need to lower the stop in order for the actual loss to be maintained at the same level. That basically means that the stop losses on this near record position in grains has been moved down and moved closer to the market. Where the trigger point is, I don't know, but it just basically raises the risk of a sharp rebound if we see any change in the fundamental outlook in the coming months. And as you mentioned, Søren Otto, we are heading into the northern hemisphere planting season. Prices are weak on the expectation for a normal year, but what happens if we suddenly see no rain for a month? Then the situation obviously changes quite significantly. So I would be very hesitant in being short grains at these levels. Looking at something like milling wheat in Paris, the December contract, which is the new crop contract, it actually showing signs of breaking higher. Take a look at the chart. So far we managed to create a double bottom. The breakout is in the process of being confirmed, but that at least is a sign that the market is starting to worry a little bit about the next crop, the prices for the next crop. Not so much the old crop, because we've got plenty of supply still, and that's why the front months in milling wheat is still in a downtrend, but the new crop has started to show signs of support. So grain sector also worth keeping an eye on. And all in all, Søren Otto, this brings us up into the helicopter. And if I look from the helicopter down on the commodity sector, I see emerging signs that this year-long sideways consolidation we've had following the big jump from 2020 up to 2022 and subsequent correction, or was 21 to 23, I think it's showing signs of perhaps running out of steam, running out of mileage, and we may start to see some pickup in the coming months, and that will eventually be spiced up with a rate cut as well. So from my from my 10,000 feet view, I see potential gains in the commodity sector as a whole in the coming months.
Let's just stay with that for a little bit, because I think that that's interesting, because you say that I think commodities has been, especially the last few years, it's been in focus at least more than I've experienced in my time working professionally with finance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and then I just find it fascinating that actually when we take the helicopter view and conclude that really the last 3 years has been a sideways movement when we look at it. Obviously, we've had energy doing spikes. Now we've had cocoa and coffee, and but this idea that we're gonna get to a point where commodities as a concept might actually get out of that sideways movement and go up. How is that connected to one? We have the interest rate cuts. Obviously, that makes sense there, but also something like inflation, because that seems to be on a downward trajectory. I would assume that usually you'd see commodities mm-hmm. picking up when inflation was going the other way.
Yeah, and again, I think the only thing you have to do is that if you look at the price right now, then that price should have discounted everything else, everything you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's going on in the world is reflected in the price as of now.
Yep.
So basically, the market is right now pricing in only three rate cuts. They're pricing in a Chinese economy that's not really doing terribly well. They're pricing in inflation, which has come down, almost collapsed, but which now is actually showing signs. If you look at some of the shorter. Measures that is starting to pick up again.
You had the CPI yesterday.
Yes, we did. And if you look at the 3 months and the 6 months rolling annualized basis, then we are actually picking up again. That is probably the reason why rate cuts in the order of 3 to 4 is potentially okay. But at the same time, a pickup in inflation will at any given time have a positive impact on commodities, simply because as an investor you're looking for investment that shields you against higher price pressures. So I think if all in all everything that's gone behind us happened behind us, with some of them has not been commodity positive, it's priced in. So just start from a clean slate, look ahead, and what can happen. We can see rate cuts, we potentially see a weaker dollar. We can see stimulus in China. We can see weather volatility. We can see supply issues regarding industrial metals. Chinese smelters cutting production, and so on and so on. This will basically mean that if some of these start to have an impact, then the commodity space will not be unchanged in 3 months' time. It will be higher.
And I guess also something like energy, for instance, where we've had all these worries about the Russia-Ukrainian conflict, how that would impact that, and. I mean, we have natural gas, which has been a big talking point, at least within commodities, and how that has affected.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, because the Bloomberg Commodity Index right now is just up 1% year to date. But if we discount the 28% drop that we've seen in U.S. natural gas prices, then the return is actually quite a bit more respectable. And looking at natural gas, we are seeing a response now. Basically, again, the best cure for low price is a low price, because it potentially drives down production because of unprofitability, and that's exactly what we have seen in the last couple of weeks. Three major U.S. gas producers have announced temporary production cutbacks in order to bring down the overhang of supply. And while it may not send the prices sharply higher, it at least should start to create a bit of a cushion or a soft floor in the gas price, having dropped all the way back down below $2 a therm. So with that in mind as well, I'm not as worried about additional gas price weakness weighing on the overall performance of commodities in the months ahead.
Okay, so we have cocoa trading really high. Apart from that, we have gold that also might be close to
gold is a patience game right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see it a bit lower, simply because it's the foundation for the latest move up is a little bit shaky. But fundamentally, the long term outlook is still one where we favor high prices.
And then we have silver and copper that could surprise to the upside, or at least go in a positive trajectory, and the same for grains and also energy generally. I'm not sure that this conclusion makes sense, so just shoot it down if it's wrong. But when I talk to Peter, for instance, about the stock markets, we've looked for this direction of whether we get a soft landing or a recession or wherever we're going to go. And it seems in the stock markets that we've kind of gone to the point to say, okay, we're probably not going to get a harsh recession, so now we can allow things to run a little bit. Could you say that it's more or less the same in commodities, that now they've positioned themselves for in whatever they can imagine as the worst case scenario possible, and now it can go up from there? Or is that too much of a stretch, concluding it that way?
It is, simply because... And that's the beauty with commodities. And we talked about this, before. You can buy an equity or a company based on your assumption that it will do extremely well in the coming years. So even price earnings are really very elevated. You are happy to buy it because you think they will deliver that or might do even better. Commodities has not got that luxury. Commodities is a spot market. What is the supply and demand right now? If there's too much supply, prices come down. If there's too much demand, prices goes up. So this is really more dependent on what will happen in the weeks and months ahead. Not only on the demand, but most certainly also on the supply side. And that's why some of these movements can be so aggressive. I mean, we haven't suddenly started to buy more chocolate or eat more chocolate bars. Otherwise, the waistline would suffer quite significantly. Chocolate is up because supply is down, and that's enough to drive prices up. And other prices are up because demand is up, and supply is not coping. So it is commodities a spot market. They're waiting for and it will obviously depend, or the demand and supply will depend on what happens to the outside world. But you cannot really bet on what may happen in a year's time. It's basically what is happening right now.
And it is one of the tremendously interesting points for me in commodities, because it is, it's tangible, and otherwise it's very complex. And that's why we're so happy we have you to explain it all to us, Ole. Is there anything else? Otherwise, I think we've talked long enough for today.
Yeah, I can be completely wrong. let's just put that in as a disclaimer, but let's see. I think the coming months could be throw quite a few surprises on the commodities. So that's at least my base case.
But at least I was the only one being completely wrong in my attempt to explain something here. You were right there. But thank you so much, Ole, for making us all a little bit smarter today. And on behalf of Ole, the Saxo Market Podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Søren Otto. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back anytime soon. And until then, happy trading.